Sometimes it's hard to be a servant. Sometimes it's hard to give God control in your life. And I think we all understand that. We've all battled that. And sometimes what we want, what we think, who we think we are, is more important than what God wants and who God thinks we are. And so we're back in Timothy, the second chapter, back in Philippians. We're talking about Timothy. But Philippians, the second chapter, and we'll be looking at verses starting in verse 19 this morning. We're talking about Timothy. Now, I know it's been about 5 or 6 weeks since we've been in Philippians. But if you'll remember right, when we left the second chapter of Philippians, who was the ultimate example of humility? It was Jesus. And you know, it's one thing to set the example as Jesus, and we're going to go, well, we'll never be able to match that. It's kind of like unattainable goal here is to be as humble as Jesus. So what we find here is Paul said, is telling us that here's an example from someone just like you. A young man, in fact. Someone who has learned something that lots of older people have never learned, and that is how to humble themselves before God and to man. And this example is of Timothy. He says in verse 19, as he begins this, "And I am hoping in the Lord Jesus to quickly send Timothy to you all, so that I may be encouraged after coming to know the things concerning you all." You see, the scene is this. Paul's in prison. Paul's deeply concerned about the Philippian church and its believers. He loves them deeply. He longs to minister among them. He wants to be among these people. But he is in prison, and he cannot personally visit this church. So what can he do? Well, he does say the next best thing here. He plans to send his faithful companion and his co-worker, Timothy, just as soon as he can. He trusts Timothy. And we're going to see a little example of what he says about Timothy in a minute. But he says, "I am hoping in the Lord Jesus." You see, he's hoping in the Lord Jesus. It's not he's hoping in his own efforts. It's not that he's hoping in, a stroke of good luck. He's not wishing, but he is hoping in Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? That when you hope in Jesus Christ, you can put the wishes out of the way. There's no wishing anymore. In the Greek language, there is a thing called the optative. And then there's a subjunctive. You don't need to remember that. You don't even need to know this. I just need to tell you that there's a difference. One is a wish. The optative is their wish. It's like saying, "Oh, I wish I could have more money." And then there's the optative, which says, "I may be getting some more money. I may be doing this." You see the difference? In one, there's hope. And the other is, I'm just thinking it might happen, it could happen. My ship may come in one day. I'm hoping. But with the hope, there is some realistic expectation. And in Jesus Christ, there's more than hope. And he was putting his hope in Jesus Christ. And he wanted to go and be with them, but recognized that it would happen in God's way and in God's timing. That's the problem with it, isn't it? We want it our way, and we want it when we want it. Timothy was a man who was called to serve in second place. And I want you to think about that. Whenever you think of Timothy, you always think of him being Paul's lieutenant, his second hand. And this shows that this was the case. That Paul was the man, and he couldn't be there, so he sends his representative. That does not mean that Timothy was any less than Paul. It just means that God had given Paul these awesome responsibilities, and Timothy was to serve in second place. Now look, guys, I am all for advancing in your workplace. I am all for striving to be better, to make more money. I'm all for that. I've had some in my life, but I hate having terrible bosses. Don't y'all hate to have terrible bosses? You hear it? Susan's back here going, yeah. But yeah, we all had a bad boss. And you think, I'd do a better job than that. Or maybe you're a little bit disobedient. Maybe you give them a hard time. Now, I've been a boss over people before. And I had some that did me that way. I tried to be a good one. I tried to care for them. But what they don't always see or have the responsibilities that a boss would. Paul had a tremendous responsibility. It had been easy for Timothy. You want me to go where? You want me to do what? I don't want to. But this is not Timothy. And it doesn't make him any second rate because he was behind, because he was under the, quote, authority of Paul. All the persons that's covered in the scripture, Timothy was as faithful to the Lord as any of them. That's just the truth. He willingly and sacrificially served in second place. There are a lot of preachers who need to learn this. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves to others. Sometimes we have to serve in second place. Not everyone is going to be boss. Now that goes against every bit of our natures, doesn't it? We all want to be boss. We don't ever want to submit ourselves to the authority of anyone else. Can I make a suggestion to you? You'll never be able to submit yourself under the authority of someone else, spiritually speaking, unless you submit yourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ. Until you allow him to sit on that stool. Okay? Serving in second place is a privilege. The second man not only leads those under his responsibility, but he can also contributes to the life and the ministry of the first man. There was no more person more valuable to Paul than Timothy. And I want you to think about it this way. Paul was sending him away from his side. From away from him. Paul didn't expect problems from the Philippians. They weren't one of his problem churches. Instead, he expected that he would be encouraged when he knew their state. You know, today, if I want to know how one of our sister churches was doing, I just call the pastor up, or I'd FaceTime him, or I would go on, Facebook, and you know, I get a hold of him. Back then, it was a little different. Paul was anxious for him. He wanted to know how they were doing, and he wanted to send Timothy not to solve problems, but just to find out how they were doing. So he was willing to serve. Timothy was willing to serve in second place. He was willing to go. In verse 20, he says, "For I'm having no one of like mind who sincerely will be worried about the things of you all." Timothy was a kindred, brotherly spirit in caring for others. In fact, as Paul puts it, he was unequaled. There are many excellent ministers of the gospel, but Timothy's spirit came the closest to Paul's than anyone else. He cared for the churches and their believers just as Paul cared for them. His heart naturally cared for them. His care arose from deep within. It was a genuine, a sincere kind of care. It was the same kind of care that a genuine brother would have. This was something that Paul saw in Timothy, and he knew if I could trust anybody to go there and not mess this up. I had a fellow preacher I was talking to the other day, and he was talking about getting subs. And by the way, there will be a sub sometime next month as we're going on our anniversary. And we were talking about that. He was asking me if I knew anybody, and we started talking. And he said, well, I had one person come, and it took me weeks to get the congregation all out of a funk because of what he said, things he was saying. So, you know, not everybody has that same kind of kindred spirit that Paul had, and that caring spirit. But Timothy truly cared for others. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter 5:2, it says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, by the way, that means money, but of a ready mind. We need to truly care for each other. If you're going to humble yourself, you're only going to humble yourself to those you care about. Right? You're going to put their interests first if you really care about them. If you really care about them. In verse 21, he says, for I am having... go up to the next one. Let me see if I got that. Okay. Yep, that's it. For the whole are seeking their own things. Everyone else is seeking their own things. Not the things of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to sink in for a minute. Just let that sink in. And how sad this is. For the whole are seeking their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ. When Paul sent Timothy, he sent his best, a man who showed a pastor's heart, and he had a great concern for the sheep, just as Paul did. But I want you to realize what a sweeping indictment of believers and particular ministers. No one else was seeking the things of Jesus. And Paul recognized just what kind of heart, how rare it was when he observed that everyone seek their own things, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. Lehman Strauss said this one time. He said, this pathetic condition of self-seeking is the curse of Christendom in general and of the ministry in particular. Paul's words are a scathing indictment against the awful sin of selfishness. It must have been present in the early church, for we remember his exhortation at the beginning of our chapter. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Timothy did not seek his own things. He denied himself. He had not fallen into the trap that so many of the other people had fallen into. His primary concern was for his mission and the truth of Christ and the welfare of the church. But that wasn't true for a lot of the believers, or most of the believers and the ministers in Rome. And tragically, it's not true with many believers and ministers down through the centuries, even until today. We want to be like that girl, don't we? We want to take half the seat and scoot him off whenever we disagree with the direction that he wants to, decisions that he makes. And then in show, we'll come on a Sunday morning, Lord, I surrender all to you. You take the seat. You make the decisions, and everything's good for a while, and then all of a sudden you say, no, I got to take this. Look, Timothy is an example to us because he did deny himself. Look, I'm not telling you all that he's going to send you off into the mission field. He's going to have you do all of this and this and this. I'm not. Timothy and Paul probably are it's a special purposes and special missions by God in this world, doing some extraordinary things, which calls for extraordinary sacrifice. But for us to deny ourselves, it's probably not going to be as dramatic as this. To give up your friends and family to go off into a foreign land to visit people that you don't know. That's probably not it. So what is it that he's going to ask you to sacrifice? What is it that you're being selfish about? That you're putting those things before Jesus? Well, I'm going to have to let you decide what those things are. Because I can only deal with really the stuff that I'm dealing with. But the idea is this. Whatever those things are, you need to sacrifice, deny for him. Care for the things of the Lord and not just the things of yourself. In verses 22 through 24. And you all are knowing the proof of him. That's supposed to be a small H, okay? That's Timothy. He's talking about, not the Lord. And you all are knowing the proof of him, that as by a father serves a child, with me he did serve in regard to the gospel. Him, indeed, then, I am hoping to send when I may find out the things concerning me immediately. And I trusted and continue to trust in the Lord that I myself also might come quickly. You see, in this first part here, we find that Timothy was willing to be a disciple. Timothy was willing to be a son, a disciple, tried and proven. There's a close bond between Paul and Timothy, and Timothy was a son, was as a son to Paul, and note Timothy looked upon Paul as a father to him. You know, Paul enlisted Timothy as one of his disciples and missionary partners on his second missionary journey. From that time forth, Timothy became a dynamic minister of the Lord, a minister who was called to serve in second place. He was with Paul in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea and Corinth and Ephesus. He was in prison in Rome. And with him when he was in prison in Rome, and Timothy was involved in one way or another with seven of the writings of Paul. The point here is that you can see how closely bound together Paul and Timothy were, and how faithful Timothy was. He was a tried and proven minister, a minister willing to serve in the place that the Lord had put him, the position of serving in second place. Would you go back to verse 21, please? 22. I'm sorry. They knew who he was. That as a father served a child, with me he did serve in regard to the gospel. They did know him. Yeah. When I went into this, the second time I went back to seminary, not in the 2000s, but this last time, 7 or 8 years ago, when I went back, I was pretty young, right? 7 or 8 years ago, I was pretty young. I just happened to be one of the oldest students in the class. I don't understand it, but I was, you know, older. And some of the teachers were younger than I was. Now, they'd been in the ministry a long time, but they were younger than I was. And they had been in the ministry a lot longer than I had. And I knew a lot of stuff already. And there were times that the teachers were teaching stuff that I thought was just dead wrong. And that part of me inside says, you need to share with them the truth. But no, I made a determination to do one thing, to humble myself and begin to learn. That was it. I was to serve. I was there not to teach, but to learn. And I had to humble myself, put myself in that position to do that. It didn't always work out that way, but it came close. I thought I did fairly well. There were times when I couldn't let something go. But for the most part, I sit there and I listen and I learn, and I learned a lot by just sitting there and humbling myself. And I'm fixing to make a statement here. And I'm kind of debating whether I'm going to make it anyway. Guys, if you want to learn, if you want to be a disciple, you're going to have to humble yourselves. And you're going to have to learn. You'll have to learn. What that means is this. What that means is you'll come to Sunday school class. It means that you will open your minds and hearts to it, and you'll desire it to learn. And you may disagree. You may disagree with the teacher, but the teacher is not the one you'll be disagreeing with. If he's teaching God's word, you'll be disagreeing with that. You'll need to come and open your ears to God's word on Sunday mornings through the message. Now, look, I don't know. I know how I was when I was on that other side there. Most of the time, I didn't catch a whole lot of stuff. And I don't know if that's because of who was talking or it was because of my brain. But whatever the case, if you want to learn, I'm giving you a lot of stuff here to learn. And I'm hoping that you'll have a desire to learn. Because the more you learn, the more you'll want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The more you learn, the more you'll want to learn. Timothy was willing to be a disciple. It didn't just happen to him. He sat at Paul's feet probably day in and day out. Every time he was there, he sat at his feet and said, "Well, can you tell me about this? I learn more when I get a group of people." They didn't even have to be preachers. A group of people together, and we're just talking. And what about this? What about this? There's no formal setting at all. And all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I'm thinking about stuff I've never thought about before in my life. And I'm forced to think about it. It draws me closer, not only to my fellow brethren, but it draws me closer to my Lord and God, because I'm going into His Word and I'm going to find out the truth. I hope that you have that desire and that passion to truly become a disciple and not just a member. It's from there we begin to understand exactly what God wants for us in our lives. It's there we begin to understand the sacrifices that He's willing to make. And it's from the knowledge of His Word that we'll begin to put Him on the stool instead of us. He did not leave them. Go back to the last one there. He did not leave them without any hope. He says, "I'm hoping to send him." That's what he's talking about. "I'm hoping to send him when I find out the things concerning me." He's in prison. He don't know if he's going to live. And he says, "Soon as I get out," and he says immediately, he's saying, "As soon as I get out here, I'm going to go see you. And he says, "I trusted and continue to trust in the Lord that I myself might come quickly." I hear this from all y'all sometimes, a lot of y'all sometimes. When you're having to miss some church, Lola, you're about to go through that, I know. But when you have to miss some church because of circumstances and things, "I can't wait to get back to church." And I look back over the, because you want to be here. You want the passion. You want to know. You want to learn. You want to worship. And there have been a lot of folks over the years near the end of their lives when they couldn't make it to church, and I want to come back to church. I want to. I can't wait. You know. They were willing to be disciples. They were willing to worship. And I want us today to be willing to be as Timothy. To be willing to set him up as the example for us, to know that we can be a humble servant, a faithful servant, one that'll sacrifice some of what they want in order to be what God wants us to be. Next week we'll have another example of it. I'll spend all week long trying to make sure I get his name right. Read on, you'll see what I'm talking about. But the point is this. We need to stop being selfish. We need to start looking to want what God wants for our lives. As we stand and we prepare ourselves for an invitation, there may be someone here today, because of selfishness, because they want what they want, they are foregoing the gift of everlasting life. They don't want to give up this world. They don't want to give up the things of this world. And so when they're called to say, come, when Jesus calls them on their heart and says, come, be one of me, they say, I don't like my life the way it is. They don't want to make any sacrifice. Let me tell you something. When the Lord calls you and deals with you for salvation, He'll break you. And He wants to break it. He wants you to fall on your knees and surrender all to Him. That's what He wants. And a lot of folks aren't willing to do that. I hope if you never had that conflict with the Lord, that you've never accepted His precious gift, I hope that if He's doing that to you today, that you will. That you'll say yes to Him. And you'll put Him on that stool for the rest of your life. Let Him be your life. Let Him be your guide in your life. We don't work too well when we do it ourselves, guys. When we try to navigate this life on our own, it don't work. Just let Him. So as we sing, would you come and follow Him?